Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text is from the second of Acts, the following words. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the house where they were. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. This is the text. My dear brother and sister, in the realm of human experience, I believe that nowhere the before and after effect is as dramatic as in the lives of the disciples, from before the Holy Spirit came to after the Holy Spirit came. You know, we are exposed to commercials. Your whites have never been as white until you use detergent such and such. Clorox. I'm not paid for this. You don't even know what your engine is able to do until you use Gumout. The before and after is clear and dramatic. But here, the disciples were all huddling in one room, quite possibly the same upper room in which they had eaten the Last Supper with Jesus 52 days ago. They probably renewed the lease of that room, and here they were staying. And the Holy Spirit comes down. First, they were fearing for their lives. Now they pull out their little soap boxes up on them and start to proclaim Christ crucified for the salvation of everyone, for the forgiveness of sins. And Peter, never losing an opportunity to be explicit, said, "Remember this Jesus whom you crucified, God raised up. And he is the Lord of lords and King of kings," etc. Yeah, the Pentecost is dramatic. It is when the Holy Christian Church started. The day of Pentecost is an interesting word, Pentecost. It comes from Greek. Pentecostes means 50th. 50th is an ordinal number, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, etc., not a cardinal number, 1, 2, 3, 4. If I tell you I have 4 bananas, you can picture that, yeah, he has 4 bananas. But if I tell you I just had my 4th banana, you say, oh my, he ate 4 bananas? So if there is a 50th, the 50th points back that there must have been a 49th. And a 48th all the way down to a 1st. What happened on the 1st? Jesus rose from the dead. What happened on the 50th? The Holy Spirit comes down. Leave it up to God to call press conferences for the day when Jerusalem is filled with visitors. Why? Oh, very simple. The rule in the Old Testament said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The 7th day was a Sabbath to the Lord. But after 7 Sabbath days, 49 days, the 50th day was a super Saturday, a super Sabbath. They added a 2nd day, the most important day of the feast. And they had feasts every 50 days then. The feast of Passover, when Jesus was crucified and rose again. Now the Feast of Weeks, in which they brought their grain offerings. And what happened on the Super Sabbaths, on the Super Saturdays? Jerusalem's population simply exploded to 3 times the size. And it is when those people are all in Jerusalem that God makes a press release, that he makes a major announcement. See, my son was raised from the dead. See, the Holy Spirit came and started the Christian church to bring life and eternal life to everyone. And so, there were in Jerusalem many visitors. 15 languages were heard. Luke says that there were in Jerusalem in those days people from all over the world. They came from Africa, etc. And he said then, there were in Jerusalem Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Lydia, and near Cyrene. Do you think that Simon Cyrene, that was pressed into serving the Lord by carrying his cross for a while up the Golgotha, was back 50 days later? I'd like to think so. Rome, Cretans and Arabs, 15 languages were heard, but only one was spoken. Those humble Arameans and Galileans that spoke Arabic, that spoke Hebrew. Those poor disciples, fishermen, one in the bunch had an education, Matthew, an accountant. The rest were of quite humble beginnings. You see, here we have a clear evidence of the divine imperative. It goes the way God wants it to go. In Babel, God confused their language. One language was spoken, but none was heard. Here, one language is spoken and 15 are heard. My dear father, who was my elementary school teacher until the end of sixth grade, put it in such simple terms to us what happened in Babel. Give me another brick, and they would hand a new trowel. I need a plumb line, and they would give them a new stone. Complete confusion. Here, clarity. It is God's way of preparing the world for the disciples, for the apostles' work. So when finally Paul made his way to Rome and talked about Jesus Christ, oh yeah, we remember Alexander and Rufus here, the sons of Simon of Cyrene from northern Africa that had moved to Rome. Yeah, we remember those boys talking about Jesus of Nazareth. James goes to Spain. Oh yeah, we remember someone that had been in Jerusalem on the Pentecost day talking about this. Peter goes to Rome. Yeah, we remember this. So God prepared the world, kind of conditioned the world for the work of the disciples. And guess what he did through the disciples? He prepared the world for you and me. Now we are it. We are God's torchbearers. But unfortunately, we do not have a nice tongue of fire marking us as an apostle of God. We must show our identity by our behavior, by the things that we do, by the things that we say, by our posture in the world, by the things that we think and that determine our conduct. But we can do it because we have received the Holy Spirit on our baptism. We are now ambassadors of God, and we go into the whole world, and we speak different languages. In our congregation alone, we go into 13 places, and we speak some 8 different languages. And it is beautiful to see. I had a wonderful experience some 16 years ago in a little town in Alsace-Lorraine, right on the border between Germany and France. South of Strasbourg, France, the birthplace of Albert Schweitzer, that medical missionary doctor. I It's called Königsberg, if you would like to look that up. I was given the privilege to proclaim the gospel from the pulpit where Albert Schweitzer's father had been the pastor. I saw the font, the baptismal font where he was baptized. Well, the congregation is half English, German speaking, and the other half French speaking. And our 40 people from Sheboygan filling up the pews were all English speaking. So I preached in English. The pastor translated it to French, and Claudia translated it into German. So my 10-minute sermon lasted 30 minutes. But it was an opportunity to see that the Holy Spirit knows no barriers. We all belong to Him. We all are members of the Una Sancta. There is one God and one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and one Holy Spirit that calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole world. As the disciples were then, today you and I are all gathered in one place. And here we receive again the Holy Spirit that enables us to go and speak in tongues throughout the whole world. Let our words and our actions be the visible tongues in our day and age. And let us prepare the world for the torch bearers of tomorrow, that salvation may be proclaimed to all, born and unborn, to those that are old and those that are young, to those that are sick and to those that are healthy, to the poor and to the wealthy, because we all belong to one Christian and apostolic church on earth. What a privilege you and I have, my dear friends, to lift up the cross. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.